This is Pat Tomlinson, and I'm talking with Dr. Jim Smart, Ag Spectrum Research and Teaching Agronomist. Jim, I believe you're traveling today, but the last time we talked, you were on your farm near La Harpe, Kansas, where you've been very dry, and you were excited about the possibility of getting some rain that was predicted over the next couple of days. Did the rain actually materialize?
Yes, fortunately, we had about an inch of rain over the weekend, and there's a prospect for more rain later in the week, so that things are really looking up. We've been very dry all spring, and to get a little bit of moisture is very helpful. And that the 1 inch was the largest rain we've had all year, really.
I'm glad to hear you got a little relief from the dry conditions, and I hope it continues to rain on your place this year, at least every once in a while. The season continues to progress, and crops continue to grow, and before you know it, we'll be into the foliar season for growers on the maximum farming system. We've discussed in recent podcasts early foliars in beans around that V3 stage to either help overcome stress or, in some situations, replace a planter application of in-furrow nutrition where that isn't feasible with the farmer's equipment. But what I wanted to talk with you about today was our more typical foliar applications, which are geared toward the reproductive stages of growth on soybeans. Best practices for timing the applications are always a question, just like with corn. But before we get into that discussion, I wondered if there are any other considerations on foliars for soybeans that we should think about first.
Yes, even if it's dry, if our roots are near moisture, if we have hair roots in moisture, we're still going to get a good response or a positive response for the producer. So just because it hasn't rained frequently or it looks a little bit dry, unless you're in a D3 or a D4 drought and there's hardly any moisture in the soil, we're very likely to get a positive response from foliar nutrition. And one of the things our foliar nutrition does is to help to set and hold more fruiting structures on the plant and then develop those into pods and then soybeans that are harvestable. So if we can develop more of those fruiting structures at every position on the plant, whether it's on the nodes or the branches, and then fill those out, that's going to be very beneficial at harvest time.
I think those are important points to understand the fundamentals of what foliar nutrition is trying to achieve as far as the impact on the plant's ability to make more harvestable yield. I think your comment on dry conditions and the concerns over getting the benefits of foliar applications when you haven't been getting all the rain you'd like are important to hear also. Sometimes our associates can also be too conservative on recommending continuing to move forward with our RECs as planned because none of us want to see our clients spend money without getting the benefits they expect. But we also know and need to remember that we don't want our clients to miss out on the significant potential benefits of foliars because they're overly cautious about the dry conditions, when the additional root growth that results from a well-implemented foliar program can have a big payoff in dry seasons.
Well, that's right.
So tell us about the best timing to shoot for on soybean foliars.
The first foliar that we would like to put out is that first bloom. So when the plants start blooming, that's when it should be applied. Sometimes that creeps up on us, and many people don't realize that 35 to 40 days after that soybean plant emerges, it's going to start blooming. So we need to be watching and looking in the field because we can't go off plant height. If it's been dry, the plants may be very short. In areas that have had a lot of rains, the plants could be pretty tall already. So we can't go off leaf stage or plant height. They start blooming at a certain time period, so we just need to be watching that. And when it happens, we need to be ready to start making that first application.
So if we're shooting for the time when flowering starts on the first application, what's the best timing for the second application?
The second application needs to be made 10 to 14 days after the first application. If there's a rainfall event or you just can't get the second application of foliar nutrition applied in that time frame, as long as the soybeans are flowering and you have moisture in the soil at all, we can have a positive benefit on that plant to set and hold more fruiting structures. That first application helped to develop many more fruiting structures. The second one can help to retain those blooms and develop them into harvestable beans within the pods. We can also get many more pods that have three and four beans in a pod rather than one or two beans. So we're setting more pods on each node and then getting larger pods also.
Is it best just to focus on the interval between applications once that first one has been made? In other words, not to worry about trying to specifically identify late R2 versus early R3, which I think is often an area we talk about as a good time frame for that second application. Once the first is made, and assuming there aren't any extreme stresses that disrupt normal plant development, should we simply plan on coming back about 10 to 14 days later with a second foliar app?
Well, that's correct. And generally, after our soybeans flower comes out and it gets pollinated, we will have the plants in the R3 stage in about 10 days to 2 weeks. So if we just plan on that time frame, 10 days to 2 weeks on our calendar to make the second application, we're probably going to be very timely there. The only time it would not be is if you failed to retain those blooms and they were aborted because of some weather stress or other stresses. But about 10 to 14 days following the first application, we should be prepared to make a second foliar with the PT21 score as well as Grozyme. Don't be afraid if the plants are growing really well and you've made two applications and it's really setting on lots of fruit. It's fine to make even a third application. That can be very helpful to set even more pods on the plants. If you've got good moisture and things are growing good, we need to do whatever we can to set and retain more of those fruiting structures on the plant.
In thinking about real-world challenges growers have in implementing a plan, one of the biggest is weather. What happens if rain makes it impossible to get the first application done when flowering begins? If you're delayed 5 to 10 days before you can get through the field, do we still just follow that 10 to 14 day rule?
That's right. And as long as the soybean plants are blooming, we can help that plant to retain more fruiting structures and develop those into large pods that have three or four beans in it. Each pod rather than just one or two beans in a pod. And if we can retain more pods on each node or fruiting site, that can be very beneficial.
We know that two foliars are the standard rec for soybeans, and that's what we want to expect and push for because that is what will maximize the yield results for our clients. Still, we know there may be times or clients that will only want to do one foliar, whether for cost reasons, logistics, or some other reason. If an associate is working with a client in that situation, what should the timing of that foliar be if we don't expect there to be a second application?
Well, we could delay the first one until there's lots of blooms starting to form, but really most people have found that if they follow up with that second foliar, it's the most economical because we can set and hold many more fruiting structures on the plant with two foliar applications made about 10 to 14 days apart.
Another aspect of the foliars that I wanted to review with you that I think might be particularly useful for newer associates is the total spray volume that we want for maximum efficacy. Growers who have experience with spraying during the reproductive stage of soybeans have usually been applying fungicide, and the common recommendations for ground-applied fungicide is usually focused on coverage and getting coverage through higher spray volumes. Say 15 to 20 gallons per acre is pretty common. The assumption is often made that our foliar products will be the same, and the more water they can add for coverage, the better. Is this going to be the case with our foliar applications?
With our foliar applications, we don't really need the higher volumes that you might need for fungicides. Some of the fungicides even require 30 or 40 gallons of fluid application per acre. Where with our foliar nutrition, if we can use a lower amount, generally we get a very good response at even 3 to 5 gallons or less than 10 gallons is ideal. Sometimes producers don't have the right spray tips to get down to 5 gallons. So 10 is acceptable, but if we can reduce that total volume of fluid that's going to be in the spray solution, we get better absorption and less chemical or less nutrients that would run off the leaf from a larger volume that's being sprayed on the leaf. Another thing, if there's lots of dew on the leaves, we typically want to wait until that dew dries off or has dried some before we make the application, because heavy dew and then the application can cause some of the nutrients to just run off the leaf and go onto the ground before they have a chance to absorb into those leaves of the plant.
Yeah, when we talk about things like spray volume and dew on the plants, I think it really reminds us that the goal is not just about getting the product sprayed, but actually getting the product through the leaf surface and into the plant's system. There are lots of details that play a role in getting that done. Another one of those details is the specific recommendation we give our client on how much PT21 to apply per acre. I think some associates will almost always recommend 3 gallons per acre as kind of a default that is at the low end of the recs for ground applications in order to make the application as economical for the client as possible. What would the guidelines that you'd give an associate be to make a specific rec on PT21 for a client's soybean foliars?
Well, the PT21 is a superior penetrant that helps to get the ingredients of SCORE to penetrate and translocate within that leaf. Now, SCORE contains lots of manganese, calcium, boron, and zinc, which are very beneficial for setting and holding and retaining that fruit and developing it. 3 to 5 gallons of PT21 is typically what we recommend. I like 5 gallons. I think we get a better absorption and a quicker absorption at the 5 gallons of PT21 per acre. Sometimes if we're using drones or aerially applying the nutrients, that rate is maybe not possible with the drone. So if we back that off to only 3 or 2.8 gallons per acre, we can still get a good response, especially with drones. But 5 is the amount that is usually preferred. If our air temperatures are pushing 90 degrees, maybe we want to back off from 5 gallons and only use 3 or 4 gallons per acre of the PT21. But remember, that's the superior penetrant, the PT21, that's helping to get the nutrients into the leaf and helping to get them translocated where they're going to be most effective to stimulate new root growth as well as shoot growth and flower retention on the plants.
In a lot of cases, growers may be looking to add fungicide or possibly insecticide to the mix. Are there any particular concerns or issues to consider when that's the case?
Well, the PT21 and SCORE will mix quite well with almost all of the fungicides and insecticides on the market. One of the things to consider is what are the oil carriers and other carriers that may be formulated in those insecticides and fungicides, and does that increase the risk that we might damage a leaf or burn the leaf a little bit? If we are adding water to the spray solution to get our volume up to, say, 5 or 7 gallons to the acre, the addition of Indicate 5 and Ensure to buffer that water is very beneficial and can help to get quicker penetration into the leaf as well as absorption and translocation. Indicate 5 and Ensure are needed if we are adding water to the spray solution. Going back to the insecticides and fungicides, sometimes the timing, the manufacturer of the fungicide or insecticide have, does not correspond with the growth of our plants when we're making our first or second application of the foliar nutrition. So we need to get the nutrition on at first bloom and then 10 to 14 days later. If the timing aligns with the fungicide application, that's fine. But if it doesn't, maybe we need to come back and make that fungicide application or insecticide application at a later time. Don't be afraid to add Grozyme to every spray application that we have on the plants, because it can be very beneficial.
And I'm thinking it's always good advice to remember to do a jar test on the mix if it's going to include any other products besides those from Ag Spectrum, even when we feel pretty confident that we're okay.
That's right. A jar test can help make sure that those formulations are going to mix. Generally, they will, but especially some of the generic formulations, they've used the cheapest or even changed the oil carriers that are in the mix with some fungicides and insecticides. So a jar test is a safe way to make sure that's going to blend and mix well with the PT21 SCORE as well as Grozyme.
Any other thoughts on opportunities for our associates and clients to maximize their return and drive yield results from foliar applications?
Yes, if we have moisture near the roots within a half inch of the hair roots, the foliar application is going to be very beneficial. If the beans have moisture and look good, and we've already made two foliar applications with the current price of beans, don't be afraid to go ahead and make another one, especially when we're getting up to close to blooming at the top of that crop. If we can set multiple pods on the top bloom there instead of one or two, I've seen 7 and 8 and even 10 pods set on that top of the plant. So don't be afraid to go ahead and give the plant the nutrition it needs to set and hold more fruiting structures. And that's really where we get the yield, is just setting and holding more pods and developing those. So that big boost in yield can come anytime after the plant starts blooming.
We know soybeans respond to foliars very well, so we want to be aware of the potential for driving more yields with a third foliar. But given the year in many areas of the Midwest and the dry conditions, I think before we close, it might be good to reemphasize again our encouragement not to be too conservative and start to waver on that first foliar due to dry conditions, when we could see very significant benefits from driving more root growth deeper into dry soils.
Even if it's dry, the PT21 and SCORE can help to stimulate new root growth. So generally, unless you're in a D3 or D4 drought, that foliar nutrition is going to be very beneficial in stimulating root growth so that we can access more moisture from the soil profile that's there, but maybe the roots just haven't grown into that moisture yet.
Well, Jim, I really appreciate you taking some time to talk, especially while you're traveling. Thanks for all the good advice today and for everything that you do for us.
Hey, have a great evening, Pat.